I'm ready, man. I'm quick on the draw. I'm like Clint Eastwood in any one of his cowboy movies.
I really wish you well with this edit. It's going to be great. You're going to learn so many things about yourself. What's up, buddy?
Hey, bud.
What's up, brother?
Just a little bit of a sore throat, a little bit of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are
all
you?
All that travel you've been doing, it makes some sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I see you got
bugs
the beer.
Are going around everywhere.
You got the beer going?
I did. I opened a beer. I'm ready for a little podcast. I got the microphone. I didn't know where it was, so I thought this was really funny from a setup this time. From the last podcast, I was at Greg's house, and I literally had no idea where the microphone was, and so I was looking for it for the first couple of minutes that we were on the phone. I found it. It was in the front of my backpack.
Speaking of Greg, yeah. I was scrolling through YouTube today, and I saw his latest video, and I got to tell you, the video quality on that video is fantastic. Good job, Greg.
Yeah, we have upgraded.
Yeah.
We have upgraded.
If you're listening to this, Greg, which I hope you are, since you're, you know, coming off fresh off the heels of being our star now on our show.
Mm-hmm.
The only advice I would give to you is maybe, like, your background is a little... It's a lot. There's a lot happening in your background.
I know. He really likes it. We talked about that. We talked about lighting, Rembrandting.
Yeah, he did make it darker. Lights, it is darker in the lights. Background. Yeah.
We talked about that, but that's the vibe he's going for.
That's fair.
And he's got a little logo. Everyone gets to have their own style. I mean, my background's not that interesting. We don't actually record video, but...
Correct.
We just...
For no reason whatsoever.
Right. I did want to start with some follow-up. Is that okay?
Yeah, I actually was thinking this whole episode was just going to be follow-up because I have no topic for this week.
Oh, well, you're just such a great podcast host. You're really nailing that.
You know, sometimes the best
ideas... It's a wonder we don't make money on this.
Sometimes the best ideas and the best things are just spur of the moment off the cuff.
You know,
that's what we're doing.
I have something on my desk that really represents that thought.
What'd you buy?
Well, hold on. I want to do the follow-up first.
Oh, I can't wait for this. Go ahead.
The Wachowskis are not brothers.
Correct. Well,
on the Matrix episode, I misgendered them, and I wanted to share both a correction and an apology. I got that wrong, and I caught it on the listen back and thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. So to the Wachowskis, I'm sorry for misgendering you.
Yeah, so first of all, that is... very nice of you to do, and the right
thing. They're not listening, by the way. They're not going to hear the apology, but it's still the right thing to do.
And it's the right thing to do. I think in your defense, I will give you a little bit of credit here. When they made the first Matrix, they were the Wachowski brothers. Yes.
Of course. But times change and things change, and I know better.
100%.
And I heard it and literally thought, I can't believe I did that. It's a boneheaded thought. So,
well, that's who you are, and that's really nice of you. Okay, awesome. Love that part. What's this off the cuff spur of the moment thing on your desk?
Well, okay. So to explain this, I have to.
Can you see? Can you hear my eye roll?
I have to go back to an app that you and I have used before. Fuck.
You got an X106. Got it. Cool.
And so. The app is called Hot Stock, and could you maybe tell the audience why? Should we tell them about this app? I think this would be a TikTok banger. Why is that app cool, Amir?
The app is not cool. The app is the worst, most hated thing ever created for people who are trying to buy stuff. But basically, what the app does is it's an app you download, and it has access to I think 6 different sites right now, 4 of which are actually useful. So it's Amazon, it is Best Buy, eBay, which is not useful because everything is always available on eBay.
StockX is on there,
which is also not useful because everything is always available on there. And I think Walmart, but Walmart's really hard. So basically, it's like Best Buy and Amazon. And what you do is if there's a tech gadget thing that you want, i.e., PS5 or like a Q3 or, you know, maybe a Fuji X106, Mm-hmm. You basically, you can search for it and follow it. And as it becomes available on those sites, it notifies mm-hmm. you. And if you're fast enough and lucky enough to jump in that moment and follow the steps to, you know, go through the site and order it, you can order one.
Right. Yeah. I had saved a few things historically and then canceled those things and saved them. And I think on last week's episode, I said, maybe it was last week or 2 weeks ago, that I have quite a collection here of cameras that I need to sell and get rid of and put them to better use.
I don't think those are the words you use, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, thanks. So I did. I got rid of some things. I'm going to continue to get rid of some things this week. So the Ricoh GR3, gone. The Leica Q2, gone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Fuji X100V will go this week. Mm-hmm. So off to live on the farm. And I'm maybe the Z1E. I'm really debating that one. We use it for the podcast. I'm using it right now to record this. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, I've got the Sony. I've got the A7 R5. But yeah, I sold those. And then Hot Stock popped up with an in-stock on something.
So you bought a Q3?
I did. I replaced the Q2 with the new updated version.
So that must have been on Amazon, because Best Buy doesn't sell Q3s.
It was not Amazon. So
what was it?
It was Leica.com. They're one of the sources. It popped up. And I did not actually, when I sold those things, I knew I wanted to buy something. I was thinking about an M11, you know, maybe just holding it. And you and I were talking about Hasselblads and all the other fun things out there on this earth. And Hot Stock popped up and said it's in stock right now. And I clicked it and it said in stock, put it in your cart. And I'm like, well, that's weird. And then I clicked buy and it said, great, done. And it's really weird to buy from Leica directly, because then for the next 4 days, radio silence, nothing. Can't log into the website to see anything. Can't look up your order number. It just, so I like log in, my credit card shows that I ordered something. And then all of a sudden, 2 days ago, I got you're getting a UPS delivery from LC Inc. And it's going to be in need of a signature. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. And very fortunately, Lindsay was home. So I ordered the brass thumb back from B&H.
Did you order that from Leica as well?
No, I ordered that from B&H.
Okay, because otherwise it would have been the most expensive thumb grip in the history of thumb grip.
Well, it's the Leica one. It is the same.
Oh,
one.
So it is the most expensive thumb
yeah. grip in the history of thumb grip. But I like it. It's really pretty. The brass is like a good kind of nice contrast. And yeah, set it up last night. Took the photos you saw today, if you saw my Instagram, were from it. And I'm excited to take it with me to Paso Robles. And it is now the replacement for all 28 millimeter. Yeah, it's same. I mean, the Q3 and the Q2 is the same everything. They just updated to 60 megapixel, put a flip-out screen, finally. So first Leica ever with a flip-out screen. And added 8K video, and decent video for a change, which is nice. And then they upped the face detection autofocus. And they added a optical image stabilizer and Leica looks, which are basically like the Fuji presets, but done by Leica. If you're
shooting JPEG, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's funny. You know, we had this whole conversation, I think you and I yesterday, about shooting in JPEG and how I don't like it. And then whatever I was doing last night, I must have turned it on. I didn't mean to. And when I took those shots of the kids today, the JPEGs that came out of it were so nice. I tried to edit the raw files to match them and I couldn't match it. I ended up posting the JPEG. It was great. They were really good. So I insulted them, but I was wrong. They're good.
Good. Well, yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. So fun little upgrade. So if you go all the way back to our liar, liar, liar episode from last season, I now am officially,
I mean, I just need to go back to our phone conversation from yesterday to make you officially a liar, liar, liar.
No, and I didn't have it ago. When we talked.
And, no, but you had ordered it and you had known that it was coming.
Yeah, but that's not our relationship.
Because based on your math and your timeline, you said I ordered it and then it was radio silence for 4 days and then it was package coming in a couple days. So it's been at least a week. So we've had a few days worth of conversations over the course of the past week where you have known that this is a thing that has happened. And yet you pretended like it didn't.
I knew it was a thing that was going to happen.
In fact, you even said in one of those conversations to me that you don't need a Q3 and you're in fact getting rid of your Q2 because it just doesn't make sense, knowing that you had bought a Q3.
Yeah, you didn't hear the conversation correctly. I said,
oh no, I heard it correctly.
Oh no, because I know what I said. I said, I don't need the Q2 and I'm getting rid of it because it doesn't make sense.
Ah, yeah, okay. So you've known all along that you have...
I can't do the cool podcast reveal if I tell you these things on the phone calls. I've got to save them for the pod.
Great.
But I'm reducing cameras. I'm down to three and probably two by next week. Consolidating. Okay. So Q3 aside, cameras aside, I want to touch on two topics that are big in the news right now and get a little bit of your opinion. And just to put this out there, you and I have a kind of shared agreement, right? That we're not going to talk about anything that touches our work. And so therefore, there's lots of things we would love to talk about, but we end up not being able to because technology and auto, we have to kind of have to stay away from those, right? But there's one that, and I'm touching the third rail here a little bit. Like, it doesn't touch on my work fully, but it might soon, but it doesn't yet, and so I want to talk about it. Have you played with ChatGPT 4.0? Like, what? Tell me about your...
We talked about this on the phone yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so did you get a chance to play with it? Did you download the desktop app yet? Like, where are you at with this?
Okay, so no and no. So I guess my first question is, so I downloaded the mobile app, and it's not available on mobile yet. Is that correct?
It is. It's in the mobile app, but it's not like fully on. You can hit the little record button in the corner and get parts of it, but you have to use the app on your computer in order to actually fully use it.
Gotcha. Okay, so I have not. I did go back after we talked yesterday and watched more of the keynote and just samples of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds incredible. I think I don't even want to talk about the accuracy of the information that it provides.
Yeah, it's wrong. Yeah, totally.
That's not the topic, right? But the topic is like the conversational nature of the responses that come from it make it very much seem like you're just talking to a human being. They've done an incredible job with that. And I know there, like you said, there are things that we do and don't talk about.
Yeah.
I am very curious to see how that integrates with mobile in the future. Like if they update their mobile app fully, mm-hmm. Or it starts to integrate more, I think that is a game changer.
So we're still in the days where we're allowed to talk about this, right? Like,
I can talk about it, whatever.
Yeah, you can. Yes. Yeah, you can. I can also talk about Cybertrucks.
You can. You can talk about Cybertrucks all day long.
They're trash. That's what I would talk about. Every time I see one, they look like a freaking flaming turd driving down the street. I guess here's my question. Some of this is a really interesting tech demonstration, right? Like, oh, that sounds really cool, or it did my math homework. But realistically, it's nothing that you are going to use or I'm going to use, right? I was talking to you yesterday about this other company, Limitless.io. And the idea there is a tool, it's a recording tool. You open the app on your Mac, you take it into a meeting, it records the whole meeting, and then it auto outputs a summary, to-dos, follow-ups, who is in the meeting, makes meeting notes for you. Like, I feel like there's some real practical applications in something like that. And I think we both believe this future has that. But then, like, yesterday you started talking about AI art, which I just don't think has any real significance. Like, it's cool, but I don't find it to be really significant. So where, when do you, what do you think the threshold is? Like, what's the line where you feel like this is technology that you would go invest in? Because you're a nerd and you would buy anything, but you haven't done this. So what's the line for you?
I don't actually think there's true value in it today, to be honest.
Nope, I agree.
I think it's still more gimmicky than valuable. So I think there's two different ways to look at this, or two different lenses to look through. So there's the lens of the apps that you can use. So whether it's ChatGPT, Copilot, Limitless, whatever app you want to download and use on a mobile or desktop. Mm-hmm. There's that aspect. And then there's the hardware side, and we're seeing things like the Rabbit P1 come out. R1, and then you got the humane pin. Those are the hardware side. So let me start with the hardware side, because I think that's an easier one to just talk about and move on. And a lot of reviewers have mentioned this. There's no value that those devices provide to you today that you can't do on your phone 10 times better. So then the question of those hardware devices is, what is the value of me having another device that I have to carry, that I have to look at, that I have to charge, that does what my phone does already, or does what my watch does already? Mm-hmm. For hardware to be mainstream and be valuable, there needs to be a value to it that is not currently present. So whether that is doing what your phone does 100 times faster and more accurately, or not having to look at it or whatever. Right? That's what Humane does. Humane says, hey, you don't need to look at this device. It lives on you. You can use a reflection on your hand and see some responses, but right, it's more like pretend it's not there and it's giving you these answers. Where I actually think that the advantage of, and they fail miserably, by the way, and even if the hardware execution is good, which is not, the software response is horrible. There's too much latency, mm-hmm. There's too much of a delay, and it's not accurate.
Right.
Where I think you're going to really see an advancement in hardware when it comes to AI is in two possible categories, and they're all wearables. Glasses, and you're seeing Meta do a really good job of it right now, but like Meta is the best of them out there, and there's a long way to go. And I'm talking about the Meta or Ray-Ban. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But there's still a long way to go. It's funny because Google Glass, I think, was way ahead of its time. Was a decade ago almost, mm-hmm. with those glasses. And like some, if that never existed then and they introduced it today, I think it'd be a much bigger hit. The other one is something like on a watch or a ring or something that you already wear that could then serve a different purpose. Mm-hmm. Because again, it goes back to, if I have to wear more items on my body that I wouldn't normally wear, first of all, I'm probably not likely to do that long term. And second of all, it really better presents a value to me that I've never known I needed or existed. So that's the hardware side. On the software side, like I said earlier, I think it is more fun and gimmicky than it is effective and productive. Now, we use it at my job sometimes, but we don't use it to create content.
Right.
We use it to say, here's something I put together. I'll throw it in there and have it give it to me in a more eloquent, professional manner. Spruce it up for me, right? Make it sound more, fix the grammar, fix the spelling, make it sound more
fluid. Sure.
And it spits it back up. And we've had episodes on AI in the past, and we've talked about, you know, these very same things. We talked actually about art and, you know, how AI plays a role into that, and when is it art and when is it not, and when do you create it and when do you not. We've had those conversations. I just don't think it is something that is ready for full incorporation today. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that's really helpful if I want to do a quick phone search for something, and I want better answers. I think it's helpful in that. I think it's helpful with giving me stats to a baseball player or a baseball team. Basically, just doing what a web search would do for me, but in a faster time in an audible format that is engaging.
Okay. So then that goes to the second question, which is, if it rises to the level of usefulness, which it isn't right now for you, although I feel like that limitless thing I was telling you would be a threshold of usefulness that starts to become like, okay, maybe, right? Like Google I/O just finished. There's a lot of interesting, we'll see, right? Everyone's going to throw their hat in this ring, Copilot and Bard and, you know, everywhere in between, right? The second question though is, in the current way in which it's done, is it ethical? I don't think collecting the internet's data to produce the large language model without checking for copyright is to me inherently unethical.
I think that depends what format you're talking
about. The way ChatGPT was created. So I mean,
so give me an example of it being
unethical. Not in its use. I'm not talking about the morality of the use. Yeah. We covered that in a podcast last season about writing term papers, right? The way that that large language model was made is it took data from all the sources on the internet to figure out that if you say star, that the next word is likely worse. And when it's responding to you, that's what it's doing, right? It's taking all of the probable outcomes and then creating what feels to you like language based on probability, right? That's what an LLM does.
But if I go on Google and I just start to type the word star in a search, it's going to finish it with worse. So Google's already been doing that. They just call it an algorithm.
Yeah. So a large language model yes, in a very basic way it did. Obviously, there's a lot of detail we're leaving out here. I guess my question is, and you can apply this to Google if you'd like. Like, was it ever Google's data to search? Like, is it ChatGPT's right to take Salvador Dali's paintings and have them even in its consideration of a style that it can use when that art is outputted? Isn't there a moral hazard there?
There's always moral hazards. And I'm not saying this to say they should be doing it or not should be. Like, I'm not taking a position on it. I think what I'm saying is, if you have something on the internet, it is, in most cases, public domain.
No, it's not.
Now, there... No, hold on.
What are you talking about? No, it's not.
Listen, there are restrictions to that. If I have music on the internet that has copywritten and DRM privacies on it, that's fine. If I post a selfie of myself on Facebook, that's public domain.
No, it's not.
Anybody can borrow...
That is not public domain. So, you do not have the right to use my likeness on the internet just because you found it on the internet. That is against the law.
I do... So let me ask you a question. You go on Google right now and you search Barack Obama and you go to images and you see 5 million images. Yep. Are you saying that none of those images should exist there?
No, I'm saying
those... And I should not be able to take one of those pictures and put them in my term paper that I'm going to turn in?
Maybe. What I'm saying is those images belong to someone. So most likely the image that you're going to see is owned by Getty, right? Who purchased the right to use that image. And then in American law, we have acceptable use patterns for things like that. So if I am sharing a news story about Barack Obama and using a picture of him to tell the story, that is considered acceptable use. We have run law on this, right?
But is that on a subjective or objective nature?
No. It is by law. There are legal statutes for it.
So if I am sharing a news story about Barack Obama.
Yep.
And I use a picture of him, that is okay.
Well, I have to license that photo. So if I'm going to make money off of it, then I need.
If I'm not making money off of it.
So where, like, you're sharing it in a school report?
On Medium.com. No money on it at all. I just want to write an article, throw it on the internet for free, share my thoughts, and let people read it. No money.
You still don't have the right to use that image. However,
when do I have the right to use that image?
You don't have the right to use someone else's work. You have the right to use work that has been given license in the public domain. So there are photos of Barack Obama that are in the public domain that you could use.
So what if I use that image and on the bottom of my story I said photo courtesy of Getty Images, which is what everybody does? Then it's okay, right? Because I'm giving credit to where the credit comes from?
I don't think that's exactly true. Like if I believe, don't quote me if this is wrong, but fair use, section 107, I believe is that if it's for news reporting, criticism, like comment and something with school, it might be teaching, like that is allowed. Those are considered fair use.
Okay.
But any other time, it's not. And so if you think about that, like this is how jokes like a Weird Al Yankovic comes to exist, right? Because if it's done as criticism or commentary, then it becomes okay. It becomes fair use, which I get creates some gray. We're not here to discuss copyright law, but in the equation of a large language model, shouldn't ChatGPT have to go pay Getty and pay the New York Times and pay you to scrape your Facebook posts, to learn how you write, to then use that to later do things that could produce financial gain for that company?
I have to believe that if they're breaking the law, somebody would have sued them already.
Well,
so my guess is,
no.
My guess is that somewhere in their terms and conditions, when you sign up, you are basically, because nobody ever reads that, you are saying you can use all my information to make your system better, do what you want. There's got to be something in place, right? Otherwise, like I feel like that if it was that simple, Google would be sued every day. Every Facebook, I mean, Section 230 kind of protects people right now, although that's going away. But like everybody who posts on Facebook should be individually sued by everybody whose posts are being shared by somebody else on Facebook.
In this case, what I'm saying is, I get it. It's an open question. Like right now, AI models are training an AI model is considered fair use. I am asking you, not if it is. Legally, at this moment, it is. I don't think, by the way, it's because the law's been seen well. I think it's because it's so new that it's not been adjudicated. What I'm asking you is, from your point of view, with 2% left on your battery, is that ethical?
I don't know. Because I feel like the answer should be no. But if the answer is no, then I would also circle back and say 60% of what's on the internet today, if not more, is also not ethical.
Yeah, but you jump off a bridge, someone else jumps. Like, why does that make it okay?
No. But it's the other way around. We've already been jumping off of that bridge for the past 30 years. And now we're finally saying, oh, this new person who wants to join us in jumping off the bridge is not ethical, even though we've already been doing it and have never said anything about it.
Yeah, well, that's how law works.
I think that's... Well, sure. But I don't think that's going to change. Like, you're not going to just you're not going to be able to redefine the entire internet for the entire globe because of a large language model. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Hmm.
Should it? Sure. And should it absolutely apply to any work of art of any sort? Absolutely. The people who created that art own the rights to that art, and they should be compensated if their work and creation is being used by somebody else or something else.
Skinny fries.